everything is as it seems in the book titled A Treasure's Trove. In fact, almost every single page in the best-selling children's fantasy contains a clue to the location of prizes worth more than $1 million real-life dollars. Business tycoon, now author, Michael Stradther, self-published the book last fall. Since then, tens of thousands of amateur treasure hunters have pored over it in hopes of finding one of the tokens that can be redeemed for the prizes, bejeweled bugs. Arlington resident David Summers recently found his answers on page 63. There, the 12th puzzle led him to Badlands National Park in South Dakota, where he uncovered the token for a glittering rhinoceros beetle worth more than $50,000. In a minute, we'll hear from the author, Michael Stradther, but first I asked Summers why he joined the treasure hunt.
I really wanted to get my kids involved in treasure hunting. I think one of the real joys of parenthood is the opportunity to connect with your kids, the things that you enjoyed as a child, to sort of relive that. And this just seemed like a perfect opportunity to, you know, turn off the TV and sit down together and work on some puzzles and learn about secret codes and just get the mind working. And then at a certain point, I realized, oh, I think I can solve this.
I want to ask you about how you did that, but Michael, let me ask this question of you first. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Did you find the hiding places and then create the puzzle to locate them, or did you create the puzzle outline first and then find a hiding place that fit?
Well, Bob, since there is still something out there to be found, I can't really tell you whether I picked the hiding place first or last, because we just announced that there's a 14th token and a 14th jewel in Louisville, Kentucky, this last Saturday. So I have to be a little cagey there. But I had announced that all the tokens were not buried, not underwater, not in dangerous locations, not in remote locations. Didn't have to move anything, disturb anything, lift anything, but they were truly hidden. And so far, all that have been found in the knot holes of trees.
David, it's a very visual thing, so it's a little difficult to do for the radio, but take us through at least part of the process of solving the puzzle for the rhino beetle.
Right. It is an extremely visual thing, and the core of the codes of the solution so far have been based on a Polybius code, a sort of 5x5 grid type of code. The deviousness of this code is that all you have to do is lay down five of something in some sort of order, and you've laid out a code.
I have the book open to page 63, and in this case, the code is hidden in a wall of illustrated woodblocks with letters on one or several sides of the woodblocks and then wood grain on the other sides.
Yeah, this I think proved to be the most difficult, at least of the original 12, to solve. And the difficulty is that there's so many things to consider as the thing of five, this group of five, this code of five that you're looking for. And all of the things that are obviously fives, there are five different colors used and in a couple different ways, none of those are actually relevant to the code. The thing that you actually need, there, if you look at the book, there appear to be eight of them, and that's in the wood grains in the display.
Michael, did you design the hunt for the rhino beetle to be the most difficult to solve?
No, in fact, all the 12 that are in the book are all solved in a very similar way. David is right. All you have to do is find what I use to encode the 1 to 5 numbers with. And some were easier, I guess, than others, but I didn't go out of my way to make the rhinoceros beetle harder.
David, after you determined that the blocks translated into the word Badlands and the subsequent letters W-R-O-V-R-L-K, which read W-R Overlook, what did you do?
I immediately Googled the Badlands, pulled up a map to see if there were any overlooks in the Badlands and any that met the abbreviation of W-R. There are 13 overlooks. One of them is White River. I sort of paced around my kitchen a few times and said, well, I know now that this token is within 100 yards of this White River overlook.
Convinced.
Absolutely convinced. You know, they say that if you sit monkeys at typewriters and let them type, that soon enough they'll recreate the works of William Shakespeare. But it turns out that you need like 100,000 monkey years to get even eight characters. So to see something that perfectly fit, the odds were exceedingly, astronomically small that it was anything other than the exact location of the token.
And you decided
right away to go to...
Within 15 minutes, I was on Hotwire buying a last-minute ticket to Minneapolis and renting a car to drive 600 miles across the prairie. Fortunately, they don't enforce traffic laws in South Dakota.
And once you were in the Badlands, you actually found the tree and the token in pretty short order.
Yeah, I was convinced, based on two other elements that were in the book, that once I got to this location and based on how the other solutions had gone, that within 15 minutes... I was going to find this thing. And I made the wise decision of convincing my best friend, Mark Mogline, to come along. We met up at around midnight in South Dakota, drove into the park, quickly found the overlook. And my biggest fear in going to the Badlands is that anytime I had seen a photo of the Badlands, I never saw a tree. So my biggest fear was that I was going to have traveled 1,800 miles only to find that there were no trees whatsoever. Fortunately, there was exactly one tree in the right location. So even at 1 a.m., we were able to identify the tree that we needed to search. My friend Mark decided that he's going to climb the tree. And I didn't really think that Mike Stather had climbed this tree. It was kind of had a lot of stickers coming out of it and things that would scrape. And I said, no, you're not going to need to climb this tree. And he ignored me, fortunately, and climbed the tree. And about 20 seconds, looked down and said, oh, it's right there. Just sitting in the knot hole waiting for us to come along.
You must have been feeling pretty good then. And I imagine you're still feeling pretty good now. Would you do this again?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know that there's a sequel in the works, and in fact, even with the 14th jewel, my friend Mark and our families have spent a little time this weekend plotting our strategy.
Michael, you want to drop any hints on the 14th?
Well, on my website, we have released an additional clue, so I would say people should start looking there, and they will need the book to solve the clue, and so take that clue, take the book, and see what you can get.
Michael Stather is author and illustrator of the book A Treasure's Trove. Earlier, I called him Michael Stradther. Sorry about that. No prize for me this morning. David Summers is an assistant professor of psychology at Boston University. To see pictures of the puzzles and links to the clues, go to our website, wbur.org.